In these talks on the mysteries of the kingdom of God, we have covered the mystery of God, the mystery of godliness, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of the wisdom of God, the mystery of the kingdom of God, the mystery of the resurrection of the saints, the mystery of the blindness of Israel, the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles, the mystery of iniquity, and mystery Babylon, and the woman on the beast. That covers 12 of the 15 mysteries mentioned in the New Testament. In this brief talk, I want to look at the remaining three mysteries. The first one is brought before us in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 9, and it's the mystery of the faith, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. This is an expression used to describe the whole subject matter of the Christian faith, the whole body of truth, including the mysteries that I've been talking about. We are exhorted to gain a knowledge of all of these things. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 7 says, "Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." We are to get to know the mystery of the faith, and we are to be able to proclaim it, to teach it responsibly. 2 Timothy 4 and the first two verses, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." We're told to do that because as it goes on to say, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People will not want to know the truth about Jesus Christ, the mystery of the faith. The next one is mentioned in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands." When John was given the revelation, he was told to record it and to send it to seven churches. The text itself explains these mysteries. "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." He was told to send this letter to these selected churches in Asia. Verse 11 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." The seven lampstands are the seven churches, and of course churches are supposed to shed light, and that's why they're shown under that picture. And the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, the messengers of the seven churches. And they are pictured as being in the hand of Christ. Verse 16 of chapter 1 of the Revelation, "Jesus had in his right hand seven stars." And if you want to be a messenger for God, you've got to be in God's hands. You've got to be moving under his directions. So they are simple mysteries to explain. The mystery of the faith, the mystery of the seven stars and the seven lampstands, and the last of the 15 mysteries in the New Testament, the mystery of marriage. Ephesians 5 and verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Let me read to you verses 22 to 33 of the chapter that verse is in, Ephesians 5. It's a message that is very much needed in this world today, a message concerning marriage. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Quoting from Genesis 2 and verse 24, right from the first man and woman were made, right from the time of Adam and Eve, God instituted marriage, and it was for one man, one woman, and for life, and they became one. The submission of the wife to the husband is a picture of our submission as believers to Jesus Christ. The love of the husband for the wife should be modeled on Christ's love for the church. He loved her and gave himself for her. The unity of the husband and wife, they become one flesh, is a picture of the unity of Christ and the church. And this should all work out in practice. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What a necessary message this is for today, when marriage is so much under attack. Marriage should be held in high esteem. Anything that is degrading to it is abominable. Bad marriages, separation, divorce, polygamy, wife swapping, de facto relationships, same-sex marriages, all work against what God had pictured. All work against the institution of marriage, which is a picture of Christ and the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. May we take a message such as this to our hearts. God has revealed many mysteries. He has revealed that we, each one of us, are sinners in need of him and in need of his salvation. He has revealed his plan for salvation. He has shown Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior. You, as an individual, have your opportunity of accepting him and of being part of his kingdom. May the Lord bless these truths to our hearts. Amen.